The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I actually watched a few innings of the World Series last night.
The Dodgers, my goodness, they can hit the ball. I mean, you talk about a lineup.
Yeah.
Top to bottom, they rake. And I watched them... beat Glasnow around a little bit. Glasnow had he pitched really well, but like in the first five innings, besides the Bellinger home run, he was basically untouchable. And then when he came out for that fifth inning, they touched him. And then they got him out of there, and then the relievers come in, and they touched the hell out of them too. I was teaching my son that there's several different kinds of horror movies. Like, if you've ever watched the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, there's really not much suspense. There's not much to think about. It's like bad things are constantly happening to the point where eventually you're like overwhelmed by how many terrible things are happening consecutively. And then there's The Shining, which is obviously, it's a much deeper movie. You actually have to think to figure out what's going on in the movie.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz. Dad Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can do all of those things for the next 30 minutes. And then after that, you're going to either have to go to the stream or go to 92.5 because the World Series will be on 97.5. And we will wrap things up over in the other studio, the tiny little studio. So I don't know how many people actually listened to that yesterday, but it was a good 30 minutes. And if you missed the first 2 hours on a One of the Odds Wednesday, what are the odds you can get it on Podcast Arena? %1,000, at least hour number one. Hour number two will be up shortly. So if you missed any of that, that's some of what you missed. Been a fun show today. We've been on some different topics. Haven't been all that sportsy since early on. And that's a good stuff today, especially getting into the horror movie genre.
Always fun.
Yeah. And it's fun that people really get into that. And a bunch of movies that I haven't seen on there, so I can't wait to go check them out. All right, let's go through the NFL lines for Sunday. Just early look, although it's not as early. I've only got a couple that I'm even contemplating right now, especially after I got my ass kicked so bad last week. Giants +4.5 at the Eagles. A Giants team that's only one game out of first place in NFC East.
I'm leaning Giants, but I don't have a good feel for that game either way, honestly.
Agree 100%. Browns -3.5 at Bengal.
Give me the Browns.
Yeah, this is one of the games I'm looking at. The Browns, they really do beat up on the weak kid in school, and the Bengals are the weak kid in school. So I think... They're like the fifth grader who's always beating up fourth and third graders, and then a big ass seventh grader comes and kicks his ass, and then they go back to beating up fourth graders. So yeah, I like the Browns here. Cowboys and the Washington football team is a pick 'em.
I'll probably feel as stupid as I did last week, but give me the Cowboys.
I'm leaning that way also. So I'll probably feel stupid with you. That's one of the other ones I was looking at. Lions +2.5 at Falcons.
Ugh.
I kind of, if it were 3.5, I'd take the Lions, but at 2.5, I'm not interested.
Yeah, neither am I. I would consider using the Lions in a tease and getting them up to 8.5, but I can't play that line.
But what really worries me about the Falcons, if it really was just a coaching change.
They've got enough talent to be really good.
Yeah. Saints -7.5 against the Carolina Panthers.
So if I were to use another team in a tease piece, it'd be the Saints.
Okay.
So put them down to 1.5. So, no play at 7.5.
Yeah, at 7.5, I'd probably lean Panther. There will be 3,000 fans in the Superdome Sunday. Apparently they have agreed to that. Okay. I'm just going to keep doing it until they bite me. Bills minus 13.5 against the Jets. Inside of two touchdowns. Give me Bills.
God, that's tough, man. It's and they're at the Jets.
Yeah. I don't even know who's playing quarterback for the Jets.
I mean, I assume it's Joe Flacco. Yeah. I would not want to put my money on it, but if I had to, if I were in one of these pools where you've got to pick against the spread, it'd have to be the Bills.
Yeah. I mean, you can't. There's just not a number big enough yet where I would take the Jets. I'll tell you what, if it were outside of 14, I probably would. I think that's too many points. But inside of 14, you can see the Bills winning this by two touchdowns easy. Packers minus 4 against your Houston Texans.
How about over 56 points?
Yeah, it's 57 now on my bookie.
Okay.
I don't mind that either. Yeah, I probably, again, if you have a pool, I'd probably lean Texans with it outside of 3, but I'm not playing that, but I do like the over. Steelers.
I would be terrified to bet against the Packers right now. It seems like a spot where the Packers should come up looking for blood. But I like the over, and I like the first half over. I think that's the way to go.
Steeler plus 1 Steeler. At Titan.
Steeler heavy.
That's my other big game. That one for sure I'm playing. Steelers plus 1. Actually, here's a better bet. Because they do give you a money line, even with only a 1-point spread on my bookie, plus 105 Steelers.
Boom. I'll take that.
Boom, done.
So here's the deal on here's the defenses, and this is DVOA, so it's one metric, but the teams that the defenses that the Titans have beat so far, 10th, 15th, 32nd, 27th, 25th, Steelers 7th.
Okay.
Step up in class.
Yeah, I like Steelers here a lot. Seahawks minus 3.5 at Cardinals. Boy, I hate that hook because I do like the Seahawks here.
I'll like the Seahawks up to 4. So okay. I'd take okay the Seahawks, yeah.
All right. 49er plus 2 at
and plus that total's like what, 56?
56, yeah.
Yeah, that's a high scoring game. I like the Hawks.
Niners plus 2 at Patriots.
Give me the Patriots. I don't feel as good about. I mean, I felt good about the Patriots last week, and they came up empty. So, what I will say is the Niners in the second half of that game, they didn't do much, and the Pats defense not bad. And you remember they held down the Chiefs offense. And the Patriots they'll run the ball, which is ideal against the 49ers. Don't allow much against the pass, but will give it up against the run. This seems like a good matchup on paper for Cam Newton.
All right.
And what would the line be if the Patriots weren't coming off a loss to the Broncos?
Yeah, that's a real good point. It'd probably be, I'd say at least 4.
At least.
Chief minus 9.5 at Bronco. Almost a double-digit division dog.
Yeah, I've got no interest in that. The Chiefs' offense isn't as. I mean, I just mentioned that the Patriots held them down to a bunch of field goals. I may look at it. I may look at that under, honestly. And it's almost like a it's like self-criminalizing to bet Chiefs unders. It's just painful. It's masochism. But somebody's got to do it.
Well, I do think. And the Chiefs historically have been like this, fast starts on offense. Then they kind of flatten out for a few games. Remember last year they lost to the Texans and the Colts at one point.
Yep.
And then they get it together as the season goes on. So they're kind of in that lull period now. So if you had to, I'd go ahead and take Broncos. I'm not betting it, though. Jaguar plus 7.5 at the LA Chargers.
Ugh. Pass for me. I won't give that many points with the Chargers, but I also think the Jags have officially quit.
Yeah, last week was just a disaster. Buccaneers minus 3.5 at the Raiders. I'm probably going to keep doing, as you feel stupid with the Cowboys, I'm going to keep feeling stupid by betting against the Bucs and take the Raiders here.
I'm with you, so we'll feel stupid together.
We got a lot of similar ones this week. That's never a good sign. Or it's a great sign. I don't know. And finally, Monday night game. Bears plus 6 at the LA Rams.
Over under 45?
Over under is 45.
That
is
under, correct. Please.
Okay. We'll talk about that game a little bit next week. Any college football that jumps out at you this week?
Nothing nothing particularly standing out. It's kind of exciting that the Big Ten's back. I'm a little hesitant on some of these numbers because I don't know what these teams are.
Right.
But Iowa minus 3 at Purdue is something I'm probably a little interested in.
Okay.
It's probably going to be three or four bets that are all pretty light, to be honest. I don't see a hammer in this bunch. Not yet, anyway.
What do you think of Texas minus 9 against Baylor?
Well, I wouldn't be on Texas, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see that number as big as it is.
I've been on UTSA all year. I may have to be off that train because they lost their quarterback for the year. Louisiana Tech minus 2.5. Not a bad number.
I'm interested in Cincinnati getting points at SMU.
Okay.
Right now it's only 2.5, so I'm going to keep an eye on that line. I'm interested in that.
SMU ruined?
I don't think they're ruined, but Cincinnati's really good. And I bet you the preseason line for this was like Cincinnati minus 7. And Cincinnati hasn't really done anything to tell me they're not a good football team still. So yeah. So I'm looking at that one. I'm curious about – I'm really wanting to bet South Carolina plus 6 against LSU. But I don't know if I've got the stones.
I don't know that I'd blame you if you did.
So that's where I'm leaning college-wise. That's about it. All right. So we need to go to break, don't we? Let's go to break. I didn't hear that. What was that? Did he say anything? There we go. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering what was happening there. All right. We're going to go to break. Come back. We'll go off the rails again or something. Who knows? It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't about to die with no money I done gave you. I was on top when it meant a lot. Still on top like I'm scared of the drop. Still on top when these want to swap. Want to swap like a sauce in a watts. I don't want to...
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Some entertainment news.
We were talking about point spreads, and we were trying to find, because it's 46 right now, Clemson minus 46 against Syracuse this weekend. And I was like, well, I bet Oklahoma-Kansas has had some big ones. And the biggest one was 40. Ohio State-Rutgers last year, Ohio State minus 52.
Okay, that's the one I thought of when we were talking about it that might be bigger than this one.
There was
in conference.
Yeah, there was a lot of third, like up in that series, it'd never been higher than 39. So it was like 20, 23.5, 39, 28.5, 34.5. Then last year was 52. Ironically, the first time Rutgers has ever covered against Ohio State. That was 56-21. They covered easily.
Yeah. Some entertainment news. Did you see that Jeff Bridges has been diagnosed with lymphoma?
No, that's the least surprising news ever.
But it says, but the prognosis is good. And but I was saying, he might be... Of the famous people we've interviewed on this show, it's pretty far up there. Like,
oh yeah,
non-sports famous people.
Yeah,
probably not Costner, but
no.
But he was also one of my favorite interviews because he sounded just like the dude a couple of times. He dropped a far out on us. I mean, it was great.
What about Reverend Jesse Jackson?
Reverend Jesse's up there. I mean, that's probably of the non-athletes, it's probably the top three.
Yeah, Hannah Jeter.
Yeah, not in that group.
Okay. Hotter than both of them.
Though. Yeah, all of them. Yeah, yeah, no question.
Super hot.
But she was pretty famous at the time before, because she was doing those Genie commercials.
Yeah.
So she was known as the Genie girl.
Yep.
And then she started dating Jeter. But she's probably top 10, I would say. Flimsy says Dana White. Dana is sports, so.
Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman's up there. Theo Rossi hasn't really become as famous as
that. And probably Ron Perlman's still probably not in the same stratosphere as Kevin Costner.
No, I don't, or Jeff Bridges for that matter. It's one thing I missed about the Super Bowl is that we occasionally would get somebody like Kevin Costner or the Reverend Jesse.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with that's the big three. Reverend Jesse, Kevin Costner, and Jeff Bridges. And of those, I would say my favorite interview of the three was probably Jeff Bridges.
That's fair.
Easttown Hooligans, what about Ron Jeremy?
Oh, also very famous.
That's a good one. Not for good reasons now.
No, but, I mean.
Hashtag he too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a pretty big one. But, you take that however you want.
Okay.
Of course, he said that to someone, and that's what got him in trouble.
That's true.
You take that however, never mind.
No. Wouldn't have gone there.
What? people asking, where do you come down on the Troy Aikman controversy? I don't think
it was a controversy.
No.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think they were making a joke, basically, and it's of little importance to me.
Yeah,
it's
not like
who cares how Troy Aikman and Joe Buck vote? Like that, whose business is that? Are you? I'm not listening to Joe Buck games anymore. Don't be stupid. Like, let everybody vote the way they want to vote.
Yeah, and just do what I do: mute the damn TV.
Yeah,
I saw Aaron Rodgers does that, and that he doesn't like a lot of the announcers, and he just mutes it. I kind of respect that. There's some things about Aaron Rodgers that I'm learning to respect. His dislike of the media, the fact that he mutes announcers. Now he does have some. My brother brought up a good one, the Dick Gregory interview.
Yeah.
That was a big one. You know, and that was right before he died.
Yeah.
So I don't remember how we managed to pull him. I know we got Jeff Bridges because his band was playing at Warehouse. And so he was helping promote that show. And the other two were Super Bowl, Jesse Jackson and Kevin Costner. But somebody set us up with the Dick Gregory interview. I can't remember who it was. I apologize. I'm old and I drink a lot. Rain Man says Trey's mom is the best non-sports ever. Now, we've had some really good things like that. But I'm just trying to think of the most famous people that have been, you know, that we've done that aren't sports guys.
I interviewed Jenny McCarthy. You weren't there, but I was at the Super Bowl too. We played it on our show, but
right.
Yeah, I interviewed her. Also famous for different reasons.
Right.
Interviewed Baba Booey. That was a good one. Yeah, I'm trying to I feel like we've had some more musicians.
Well, we had Sully in studio for a long time from Godsmack.
Yeah.
Before Offspring, we had Offspring was before AJ.
Yeah, that predates me.
Yeah, which that's still probably my all-time favorite interview I've ever been involved with was the Offspring. And cuz it was great and it was just out of nowhere because that was back when we were owned by KRBE or by the same company that owns KRBE, and they have this really nice studio where bands come in.
Yeah.
And yeah, you got to see a couple of people when you came over there. But bands come in and do like a little set. And they came in and did three acoustic songs, which I still have recorded somewhere because I got a CD of it. And afterwards, like, I don't know what KRB had on, but it was like, they have all that planned programming stuff. And we just said, hey, you want to come on the show with us? And they came and spent, I think it was an hour with me and Matt and telling all kinds of stories from the day. And it was how Noodles got in the band because he was the only one who could buy beer. I mean, it was just... It was just a lot of fun, and that was probably one of my all-time favorites.
Andre Royo, when we had Bubbles from The Wire, I liked that one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, I don't know. We probably should have archives of all this stuff, but we're lazy.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be a terrible idea to put together like a best of our interviews and make them available for people, but that would take work. So
true.
All right. Well, let's.
You had Mayor Sylvester Turner on the show.
I did.
That one didn't work out that great in the end, though.
Well, at the time, we were friends.
You're against him now.
Yeah, I am, because, you know, he didn't do any of the things that, well, he did some of the things he said he was going to do, but he lied specifically about the firefighters. I have a real problem with that. So, and so, no, he's no longer welcome on this show.
Oh, that seems harsh.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. And we gave him an opportunity. After we had Marty on here a couple times to tell the firefighter side, yeah. I reached out and said, hey, we'd love to have you on to hear your side of it. Nope. Which, okay.
That's on him.
Yeah.
It's on you, bro.
It is. And I'm sure he's losing sleep over the fact that he's not welcome on the show.
Yeah, it really bothers him, bums him out.
anybody else is welcome.
Not anybody.
No, I mean, any other politician.
Okay.
They got to have
Jay Moore, Tracy Morgan. I'm going through a list of old files.
Oh, Tracy Morgan. That's a good one. Oh, Dave Chappelle.
We had Chappelle?
This was in Vegas. Yeah, I guess it's been probably 5 or 6 years ago. You weren't there.
Okay.
So I interviewed Dave Chappelle.
You had Ice Cube, too.
I had Ice Cube. That's another big one. Michael Rapaport.
Kevin Smith.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Smith. That's a good one. We've had Jay and Silent Bob on, in fact.
Yeah.
Jason Mewes, yeah.
Yeah, Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith separately.
Yeah, Michael Rapaport we had also because he was doing the show at Warehouse.
We had Michael Rapaport in Vegas when we were out there for McGregor Mayweather. And
right, but we also had him on. We also had him on after that.
Oh, okay.
He called in.
Because we had him the same day we had Ice Cube, and I was like, oh, it's the cast of Higher Learning. Everybody's here. all right, I got to tell you guys about my good friends over at Carbach. And why are they my good friends? Because they make the best beer. That's why. It's delicious, sweet, sweet nectar. It's great for any occasion and really anybody's taste. And if you're having a party, they've got these party packs now that they've got mixed variety packs of their beers. So that way, whoever's in the crowd is going to have something to drink. A lot of the ladies love the Love Street for good reason. It's a very easy drinking introductory craft beer. The Crawford Bock is outstanding. I think one of the better Bocks that you're going to find. And then, of course, the IPAs. And there's literally something for everybody. For every kind of beer drinker, there's something there. Especially if you go to the restaurant where they've got stuff on tap there that you won't be able to find anywhere else in the whole wide world, including the beer that Eric and I brewed, the S'more Stout. You can only get it there. Guys, check them out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to figure out what the latest is at the restaurant and the brewery. And go pick up that. Go do the show me your smoke. Don't forget that. Get involved with that. Go to Carbach, their Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to find out what's going on with that so you can win a bunch of free gear. That's Carbach Brewing.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks!
This is The Blitz
on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Aaron, I think I just realized I threw my deaths away when I came over here.
So, I'll print out another copy and bring it in there.
Sorry to murder another tree, but I don't know if you guys saw this. Did you see what the Falcons tweeted the other night when the Cowboys went down 28-3?
No.
The official account tweeted out, "No need to add us. We already know."
Yeah.
with a little eye roll emoji. So at least they're having fun with it. I mean, how can you not, right, at this point? And it's not like the season's going very well for you either. Do you have anything you want to get to here? Because I just realized we're almost, you know, down to two segments.
Some stuff that only college basketball nerds care about. Olivier Saar and Jacob Toppin, who's Obi Toppin's brother, both received waivers and are immediately eligible to play this season. Olivier Saar is from Wake Forest, and Jacob Toppin played at Rhode Island last year. Not nearly as good as Obi Toppin, but still solid player. So Kentucky's got a couple pieces. I think we're going to start seeing that happen more. We're going to start seeing the immediate eligibility thing in college sports, particularly yeah. during COVID stuff. So that started up at least today. So we'll see. We'll see if it keeps up. But I think it's a good sign. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, I know our buddy John is really busy right now with a lot of these kind of cases that he handles. So we have to have him on at some point because I have asked him a lot about how things are different this year because of the COVID, and you know it's a different world. But for the NCAA, there's still a lot of. I mean, there's even more stuff to do now. So. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Real bad monkey. What are the odds Biden gets replaced soon by Hillary?
Really?
No. All these rumors out here that last minute he's going to withdraw and put somebody else in there. Just
why would they pick Hillary? Like that's the one person that they've proven can't beat Trump.
Yeah.
That's a dumb move.
Yeah, she can't beat anybody. Let's be honest. They're not doing that.
No.
Stop. That's just...
Because I think whatever you... Like, no matter which side you fall on, I think we can all agree that, in general, Joe Biden is more of a likable character than Hillary Clinton.
I think that's fair.
I don't think that's a stretch.
Yeah,
I know.
I think that's fair.
So if there's people who are, like, maybe undecided... Like, Hillary's just, you hear her talk, you just, even the way she looked, like, there's nothing likable about that woman. I think Joe Biden, there's, like, if someone's undecided, maybe they'll just go, he seems like a good enough guy. All right.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't matter who wins, because it just, one cartel replaces the other.
And they're all in it together anyway, yeah, at the end of the day.
They are.
Follow the money, as Raheel used to say.
Well, but I'm really wanting to get off Twitter until all this is over. But then it's going to go on for weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, you people got what you wanted.
But it's coming up fast.
It is, man. I mean,
it's like what? Less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
2 weeks from yesterday. So this show in 2 weeks, we're gonna be talking politics.
Can I be sick that day? Well,
no.
It's kind of funny because. Yeah, you know, because I voted so early, I've kind of forgotten about it, but people remind me on Twitter every day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and the numbers for early voting are really good, so I'm glad to see people get out and do stuff.
That is good news.
Somebody asked what happened to the Twitch stream. Well, we can't do Twitch while we're in
We moved to the 92.5 studio.
Yeah, and while we're in here, there's no cameras, so. Sorry, that's it's just for 30 minutes, and it's something that we have to do. So, you know, so you can catch your World Series over on 97.5. That was the second one. I don't know if that was, I mean, the first one was so weak that I almost didn't count it.
It shouldn't have been counted.
But I went ahead and put a check mark.
Okay.
That one counts, but I got to say, you're off your game. These are not quality. I mean, you gotta raise your game a little bit here.
Yeah.
So, I've been having some fun with some stuff. You know what the most Googled fear in the United States is now?
I still think snakes, but it may be coronavirus.
It's related to the coronavirus.
Okay.
It's anthropophobia. That is the fear of people.
Okay.
Accounted for 22% of all phobias that people search for online. which is a significant increase over 2019. The searches for the term peaked between April 19th and 25th, which is when things are really starting to blow up on us. So, yeah, that's number one.
Number two, refrigerator-sized asteroids.
Yeah, or aliens.
Yeah.
What's fear of clowns? Is that agoraphobia? Am I right?
No, that's cholerophobia.
Yeah,
cholerophobia. Yeah, that's fear of clowns.
Agoraphobia is, let's see.
Agoraphobia is, oh, go ahead.
It's the fear of places and situations that might cause panic, helplessness, or embarrassment. Basically, the fear of fear, I think.
Agoraphobia is like being up on, like you're almost afraid of being like up on stage or something
right.
like that.
Right.
You're afraid of being embarrassed is really what you're
and also,
afraid of.
And also clowns. Yeah. Apparently, New York's most searched phobia has been philophobia.
Man, is that fear of people from Philadelphia?
No, that's a fear of intimacy.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of related to the COVID.
Doesn't your wife have that?
Not as far as I know. It's just with me. That's a more personal thing. Wikipedia puts it as the fear of falling in love.
Okay.
Is what philophobia is. And, hey, it's the city of brotherly love. That's where it came from.
That's right.
I mean, they're turds, but still. California, the leading fear people look for was the fear of social media. It's called nomophobia.
Nomo. That's a good one.
Yeah. And then, of course, other contender phobias this year include the fear of needles, flying, holes, the dark. Texas, it's the outside. Clowns is number one in Montana and New Hampshire. Spiders, number one in Michigan and Wisconsin.
Is no one afraid of snakes anymore?
I'm not done. Blood, public speaking, and number one in the state of Virginia, snakes.
Snakes should be number one everywhere, to be honest.
I think you actually have that fear.
I do.
So... So there's your phobia update of the day. It's a non-pedophobia update, by the way. I wonder what fear of pedophiles is.
Fear of snakes is called ophidiophobia.
That seems... Yeah. It seems like that should have an easier name because it's snakes and everybody's afraid of them. Why not just snakeophobia?
Yeah.
Or viper.
Slitherophobia.
Viperphobia. Something like that. But we got to make all these goofy names up. All right, 713-780-ESPN. You know what I don't look forward to anymore is getting the Texans transcripts.
Every day there's something. Yeah. I don't care.
Well, no, it used to be fun when it was like, I can't wait to see what Bill O'Brien doesn't say about this.
Yeah.
And then I could make fun of him. But now it's just Romeo. Yawn.
Did you see... Did you see what the Texas Longhorn Band has said?
No.
You know, it's been a big back and forth over the eyes of Texas.
Right.
The band said, we're not playing that song. We're not playing that at the game this week. So if you want it played, you're going to have to play it over a loudspeaker because we're out. So that, I wonder what Texas is going to do now because they've been trying to hold on to
yeah.
it. They've been desperately trying to hold on to it, but... Yeah, now the band has said they're out. So, curious to see if they try to keep it going.
That is that could blow up on them if they're not careful.
Yep.
Hey, I was when I was driving over, Josh was on commercial, so I flipped over to hear what Joe was saying, and it was the interview with Deshaun Watson that they did today, and I don't know who asked this question. And if I know you and you're a friend of mine, I apologize for this, but it was really dumb. Someone asked Deshaun Watson, how satisfying would it be to help defensive end J.J. Watt win a Super Bowl in Houston? You're 1-5. And I think kind of went on. I was like, oh, for all he's met in the community and all this stuff, how? I mean, that's not the whole question. The question was longer than that. But... What the hell?
That's a really dumb question.
You're 1-5. And he's probably got a year left.
Shame.
So I don't know who you were who asked that question.
You're just one number away from 11-5.
That's true.
How about that? You don't think about things like that, do you?
Yeah,
and 11-5, Super Bowl.
And, you know, that number is zero. They've been pretty much a zero this year. You put those two things together. All right. Let's take a break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 92.5. No, we can
never look back. G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz
on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, last segment here on 92.5. And we'll wrap it up the way we do every Wednesday with famous deaths. These are deaths that occurred during the last week, not necessarily this year. And let's see, we'll start with Barbara Billingsley. 94 years old in 2010. She left it to Beaver. I maybe can't say that, can I?
Yeah, you can.
Gord Downie, who was lead singer for the Tragically Hip, died at 53 of cancer. That one sucked.
Won you a Deadpool, though.
It did win me a Deadpool. Here's one I didn't even know this guy was dead. And I didn't realize he was 62 years old when he died. That's because it just happened this week. Tony Lewis, the lead singer of The Outfield.
Oh, yeah. I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Kind of sounded like a chipmunk, but I like their music.
Yeah.
Say It Isn't So. I can actually do a bad impression of him, but I'm not going to right now. Let's see. Yeah, sucks. A couple of dead Lynyrd Skynyrds. Let's see. Jason Collier, 2005. 28 years old. That's not Hitler, that's Hiller. Bud Adams, 2013, dead at the age of 90.
That's what he gets.
A name which will live in infamy.
I mean, that's what he gets for getting, like, for being really old.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's not like...
nothing personal.
Like, yeah, you stole the team, but, you know, death is not your punishment. You were going to die anyway.
Right. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just saying, like, you know, you get old, that happens.
That's what old people do. They die. 1946, Hermann Göring, Nazi Reich Marshal, poisons himself in prison at 53.
Bye, that's what he gets.
Yeah. You know what?
For being a Nazi.
Alfred Jodl, German general during World War II, hanged by Allied forces after the Nuremberg trials at 56 years old. Bye.
Boy, he was one of the most prominent from that day, but there were a lot of officers on the list that I used that all got hung together from Nuremberg.
Yeah, I highly recommend that Hitler's Circle of Evil on Netflix. If you haven't watched it, you realize what horrible human beings he's got. I mean, I can't even call them human beings. All right, let's see. Has it already been a year since Elijah Cummings died? Wow, 2019. 1964, Herbert Hoover, 31st president of the U.S., dies in New York at the age of 90. Did invent the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, that's good.
But also probably not going to be very high up on the presidential rankings. 2018, Paul Allen, age of 65. This goes to show that money can't buy you extra life.
It can buy you a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, though. It's probably nice to have for 65 years. Bob Guccione, publisher of Penthouse, dead at 79 in 2010.
Just goes to show you, pictures of vagina can't buy you everything.
Yeah, but...
you agree with me? No, you think it can buy you everything?
I think vagina can buy you whatever you want.
Okay, all right, well,
but,
stand correct.
Yeah. 1976, Carlo Gambino dies of a heart attack at 74. Boss of the Gambino crime family. When you have a crime family named after
that's
you,
good.
And you make it to 74 years old, dude, that's fantastic. let's see. Here's your best deaths. Not a long list of best deaths. 1793, Marie Antoinette, beheaded at the age of 37. She could eat my cake. 1931, Thomas Edison, dead at 84. One of the greatest inventors. I think if you really want to do something cool, go study Steve Jobs and Thomas Edison. Steve Jobs did a lot of what Edison did in that he invented things, but he also was in charge of like this group of people who just kept inventing things is what Edison was. Kind of fascinating. But he didn't invent a way to live past 84.
No.
1977, Ronnie Van Zant, Leonard Skinner, the best of the dead Skinners, I would say.
Father of Justin Van Zant.
And Paige Van Zant.
Yep. R.I.P.
All right, here we go. Here's your porn stars. 2014, Heather Joy, 29, died from...
car accident.
Pneumonia.
At 29?
Yeah.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah. And 2012, Aaliyah Yee, 35 years old, died from...
35, you said?
Yes.
I'm going to go with alcohol poisoning.
Unknown cause, so that is a win.
Correct.
Congratulations, one for two. And those are your deaths. Yeah, you're right, those weren't very good. But...
Listen, we don't decide who dies every week.
Yeah, I mean, that's God's job. I mean, all we do is take them week to week and judge them, right?
I just report the news, I don't make the
news.
That's
it. Yeah. Now, if you really wanted to be, you know... Want to have an impact, you could kill a couple of famous people.
Well, that I don't recommend that.
No, that's probably a bad idea. Because, if he gets caught, that DNA stuff. Yeah, we were all over DNA earlier. I don't know how DNA wound up on the show. I don't know how horror movies wound up on the show.
Who knows? We always find a way.
It just happened. But, hey, it's a good Wednesday. And got your World Series on tonight. But that's... I think I'm going to go home and watch some horror movies. I'm kind of feeling it maybe. So.
I mean, I'm done with the boys now, so maybe so.
Yeah, I've been kind of looking for something else, and a lot of people have been telling me about that Lovecraft Country, but I haven't gotten into it yet. So I do have a Fargo to watch. I'll catch up on that. I'm not going to wait for the wife on that one.
I want to watch that. What's that show on HBO? Is it... Is it Evil that Eric was telling us about the other day?
It's on Netflix. I've been watching that.
Evil?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of about...
I'm thinking of something else.
Well, then. It may be something else, but I think it was something else he was talking about.
Is Evil good?
That's a metaphysical question.
The Vow.
Yeah, The Vow is what
That's what he was talking about.
Yeah, it's okay. It's kind of... I don't know. I'm not in a big hurry to go watch any more of them.
Okay.
So it's a guy who's training to be a priest, and he thinks everything is God-related. And then there's a psychologist, and she thinks everything is explained by science. And in the end, almost all of it's explained by science.
Okay.
But of the ones I've seen so far, but there's some creepy stuff. It's just – and usually I like kind of religious – mysticism.
Did that show start on network TV?
I think it did, yeah.
It probably sucks then.
It I don't want to say it sucks. Although the last show, it's like every scene with the little girls I have to fast forward through because they're just four screaming girls. And they're all bitching at each other. So I just, I fast forward through that. They all talk at the same time over each other and they're trying to be the loudest. It's too much like my family at Thanksgiving. Kidding, guys. All right. God, I can't believe this guy died this week.
Sorry, Fred.
Oh, well.
I know it's a big loss for you.
I mean, it's not like I've bought an outfield record in 30 years or 25 years. Yeah. Chipmunk. He sounds like a chipmunk. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Great job, Aaron. Great job, AJ. Great job, those of you who came over and listened on 92.5. We appreciate you guys. Till tomorrow, stay Rona free, bitches.
To ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.